Hey y'all, welcome to Wild Confidence. I'm your host, Ainsley B, and I can't wait to share with you some amazing guests on this season of the podcast. Our goal here is to help one another find, keep, and share our wild confidence in Christ. I'm so thankful you're joining us, and if you love the episode today, I'd be so grateful if you left a review or shared it with a friend. All right, let's hop in. I can't wait to meet our guest today. Alexandra Hoover is a wife, mother of three, sought-out speaker, ministry leader, Bible teacher, and author of Eyes Up, How to Trust God's Heart by Tracing His Hand, and Without Wavering, Resilient Faith Built on the Promises of God. She is enrolled in Northern Seminary, pursuing her Master of Arts in Women and Theology. Her words spur people onto hope, healing, and mission. She has the privilege of serving on staff at her local church and spends her days loving on her family and stewarding the gifts placed before her. We absolutely love Alex around here, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Miss Alexandra Hoover? I'm going to cut that. My mouth was just decided to stop working.
That's amazing. It is from now on. That's how I want to be called. That's what I want to be called. Alexandra Hoover.
That sounded so New York of me. Alexandra Hoover. Hello, Miss Alexandra Hoover. How are you today?
Tell me
what life is like.
Yeah, I'm doing really good. Today is a weirdly cold day in Charleston, which is like really irritating. Like, I think I'm low-key actually like mad that it's still cold here, because a part of the plan and the deal with God when we moved to Charleston was I was like, this is not, it was giving like forever summer, and it's, we're about to hit, you know, I don't even know, mid-March, right?
And yeah, no, we're at the end of March.
End of March, and it's like cold. It's winter. I'm like, spring, where are you? So, but it's good. We're good over here. Kids are approaching spring break, so we thank God. It's the longest stretch, right, for parents between like Christmas break and then spring break and then summer break. I feel like they're just the two longest stretches of the world. And so my body is telling me she's tired. And my kids are so tired too, right? So other than that, we're approaching spring break, all is well, cold day in Charleston, really excited to be with you today.
I also am surprised that it's cold in Charleston. It's also cold for me. Well, it was cold yesterday. It's kind of warming up a little bit today, but in Louisiana, and I'm like, we're in South Louisiana. It should truly always be summer vibes.
I'm just disappointed. You know, like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed.
I just think we all deserved better. And I don't know. I have a lot, like, very strong feelings that I didn't know I had until early this morning, which I'll say this. We have Holy Week prayer all week at church. And so we woke up really early. So it was extra crisp. It was like 5:15 in the morning. I was walking to the car. I'm like, what kind of life is this, Lord? What is this, God? We wake up early for you. It is supposed to be warm in the name of Jesus. We're gonna be grateful, girlies. We're not gonna complain. We're grateful to be here. We're okay.
Oh, that's so funny. I totally get it. Totally relate. I'm like, what are those amphibians? I'm like, put me in the heat. Yes. When we lived in New York City, it was a nightmare for me. Because I was like, not only are you just always exposed to the elements, the cold is so cold. Like, it's just insane.
That's interesting.
But Charleston is so beautiful nonetheless. And we got to briefly be together recently for Jess Connolly's retreat. And I'm coming back next week. So we'll hang out again.
So fun.
Which is just a little treat, but I want to know from you. Okay, wait, let me give this disclaimer, because I feel like if anyone's listening, they're like, Ainsley is not normal today. I have food poisoning today. So if anybody notices any weakness in my soul, that's what it is. but I'm really trying to power through.
I did tell her to cancel this. I will tell the world. I did my part. Like, no, we will power. Our kids have spring break, so it wouldn't have worked out any other day. So I'm not giving her too much of a hard time for being sick. But yes, our friend is not well.
No, you definitely were like, stop, let's reschedule, you're crazy. And I was like, let's just power through because I'll take the rest of the day off. Anyway, I want to know, speaking of rest and taking the day off, that was the topic of the retreat that you and I got to hang out at. So I want to know, what are your current rest rhythms that you regularly do?
Yeah. So rest for a long time, I don't think came naturally. And for most women who are probably listening, whether you have kids or don't have kids, I think we kind of live, we were born into a culture and society where rest is really perceived as weakness. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to frame it that way for the women who are listening. I have had to fight to believe that rest is also my portion. And that God is doing a good work in the midst of my rest. So to be honest, like, rest is hard for me in a lot of different ways, physical rest, emotional rest, all of it feels hard because it feels for me like a loss of control, over my life. So
yeah,
giving that caveat, inviting women in to see like my humanity, cause I just, none of it's perfect. So I will say that in the last 2 years, we've gone through a million different transitions with our life, friendships, church, city, just everything. And I've had to really buckle down and really tend to my soul, which of course, part of that is learning to rest. And physical rest for me feels the hardest. So I want to come to that first. I feel like emotional rest, spiritual rest, emotional exhaustion, all of the different ones feel easier for me. Like mental, spiritual, and emotional feel easier than physical. And it could be because I'm an Enneagram 8, right? It could be that that's some of it, or it could be that I'm just, that it's just a part of my wiring. And so I have set up some very, very, and I'm not great at this, I'll say it again, but I've set up some pretty intense, maybe, boundaries and rhythms where, for example, this might sound super, super silly, but one way that I trigger my mind to go into a state of like rest in the evenings is I usually carry around these, like, my water bottles. They're my emotional support water bottle. Yeah. And I don't allow myself to drink from it at night. I pour myself a glass of water to tell myself that I'm no longer rushed, that I can like slow down. And so it's like one thing that I do to move myself from like, go, 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 to I get to slow down. And so like, I make myself grab a beautiful, you know, glass and pour myself my water and walk to my room. And that like tells my body, like, we're shutting down. It's over. The day's done. Just last night, I've got a pretty full week this week. Just last night, I had the temptation, I think, to work. It was like 9:30. I'm behind on some stuff. And I'm getting in the habit of going to God and saying like, hey, you said you're going to meet me in my rest. You have said that you were going to do a good work when I choose to trust you and rest. And so tomorrow, would you give me more capacity, give me more clarity to do the things I know that I need to do because I'm choosing to rest physically. Mm-hmm. Practically, that looks like protecting my Sabbath at all costs. I used to be that girl that was really irritated and bitter at the women who used to be like, hair flip, I Sabbath, right? Like all the time on the internet, because it looks so holistic, especially when you have a 9-to-5, especially when you have younger kids, especially when you don't have family or community in your city. Like, Sabbath does not seem like a real, practical, attainable place, right, for us to walk into with God. And so I used to get really irritated, especially when my kids were younger. I used to be like, Sabbath for who? Like, is Sabbath with us in the room? Like, I don't know, you know? Yeah. And the Lord really convicted me, I don't know, about 4 years ago, he began to convict me of what true rest looked like. And so I began to set up just some boundaries around, like, you know, I'm not working over the weekend as much as I can. And for the friends who work on the weekend, we pick a day of the week, right, where we can really slow down and do life-giving things. So physically for me, it just looks like boundaries, choosing one day a week where I can really do things that are life-giving. Right now it's Fridays. My husband actually just got on me a few weeks ago because he started to notice that some Friday mornings I would schedule interviews, podcasts, whatever, work, writing.
Yeah.
He was like, what are you doing? I thought Friday mornings were supposed to be our date day. And I was like, well, things got kind of busy. I didn't think you were going to care. He was like, I always care. Like, this is the only time. So he was very protective of our time there too. So practically that's what it's had to look like to really fight for even just a few hours of the day where I say, these are for me and God. These are for me and God and my body.
I love that, because even having that physical cue of the water is so helpful for your brain, for your stamina, for everything, to just be like, okay, that's the switch that's turning off.
Totally. Yep. And it's been, I say it, I don't talk about it a lot. I need to really, but I used to tell my friends and they would giggle at it, but it really is such a real cue for me to say, mm-hmm. like, it's done. You're done. It's over. Put it down.
Yeah.
Put it down.
Put the water bottle down.
Yes. Put the water bottle down. It really is. So, and also just practicing, and then I'll be done practicing what I think the Lord is calling a posture of patience. Or a pace of patience is really what he gave me, a pace of patience. So restructuring my pace through the lens of patience. And it is like physically forcing me to slow down, even when I'm talking to my kids or when I'm talking to my friends. Like just establishing a slower rhythmed pace in my life throughout the day, where I can tell that I'm actually engaging, even like right now, really practicing a pace of patience with everything God's given me. That is changing the game for me too.
And how's that like giving you, how's that working with your perspective? Because I feel like that would be such a perspective shift.
It is. I think for a long time, I lived my life trying to work against the clock of time. Like I tried to always beat it because I thought I was going to miss out or lose it. Mm-hmm. And so for years, I spent my life striving to make sure that I don't miss the time, that I don't miss. Matter of fact, it's one of my idols. It's not that I am afraid of aging, or that I'm afraid of growing old, or I'm afraid of time passing. I'm afraid of wasting my time.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of not doing what God has called me to do with my time. And so in that, I started to live a life of hurry, but like my soul was hurried, even, which translated into like a physical hurry.
Yeah.
Patience, this pace of patience reframe is really helping me see, like, I don't have to like work against the clock. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to, like, I'm not at war with time.
Yeah.
Like I'm already walking in step in God's time. And so this idea of like, I'm not at war with time. I'm safe in God's time. So I can live in this patience, in this pace of patience with God. So it's a huge reframe, huge rework for the way that I see life.
I love that though, because I feel like we just as a society, I mean, the reason that we end up so hurried is because, well, you know, a variety of things, including not wanting to waste time, but also we're just surrounded by hustle, hurry, like all of this intense go, 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 go. Ain't nobody putting down a water bottle. So,
right. It's not like, so funny though. I know.
Truly. But I truly love that visual cue, because that is something practical that, you know, that people can adopt. Even at the retreat, one of the things that like just got me is something so simple, but it's something that I've like really practiced, and it's staying off of my phone in transitions from one thing to another.
Yeah.
Like that's such a simple thing. You don't even always realize that you're doing it. But whenever I was cognizant of it, I was like, oh, instead of filling my brain with something, I'm going to give it a break. Because mine's mental exhaustion. I'm like so mentally tired. But just that one practical thing can create such a new rhythm and a ripple effect of rest that, you know, can help. I love, and now I want to ask everybody, how do you rest? Because I need all the tips and tricks.
It's what's funny, I'll say too, is that when I took the quiz from Jess, I didn't come up as physically tired. I came up as mentally tired, which for me manifests as physical exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been interesting the last 2 weeks trying to, you know, just kind of untangle like this bowl of spaghetti, like noodle by noodle, trying to figure out like, okay, where for me, it's always a lack of boundaries, with my time, with my emotional capacity. Yeah. I'm willing to give, you know, and then I end up mentally tired. So,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so that is like our common ground place that we got to meet IRL. But I want to hear more about your work, your writing. Yeah. You have Eyes Up. That was a book that you released. And now you have Without Wavering, a resilient faith built on the promises of God. Yeah. Yes and amen. Tell me about that. What inspired you to write it? All of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what inspired me to write Without Wavering is really deep. It was the trenches. Really deep philosophical idea. The trenches. That's it. That's the inspiration. Suffering. No, I think one day we should have a podcast episode all about the gift of suffering, or the hidden gifts in suffering. But truly, I'll say, Without Wavering is my first Bible study. There's a teen girl version of it too, which That was super beautiful. But Without Wavering, the concept of the study was, life is going to knock us down. And I kept getting knocked down and kept getting knocked down, like we all do, right? Like just life happens. And I got really tired of life happening to me.
Yeah.
I got tired of life happening at me. I got tired of life just happening and me pretending or me really living like I was a passive bystander. So like I had no defense, like I had no rooting, like I didn't have an anchor. And so for a long time I lived that way. Like, oh, life's just happening to me. Life just keeps knocking me on my feet or off my feet on my, you know, on it keeps taking me out wave after wave. And I got really irritated with the idea and the narrative that so many of us live in, which is we're passive with it. Like we just let it happen. And so I started to really wrestle with how do we actually build a faith that when the storms of life do come, we're not swiped off our feet every time. Like, I just believe that there was a different way, and I still do. And it's a forever long process. It's a part of like our sanctification, our transformation with God. It's not going to happen overnight, but I am committed to believing that the scriptures are real. And when Hebrews tells us that, you know, Jesus is the perfecter of our faith and that we can have a faith that's without wavering because Jesus is faithful. I believe that that's true. So then I just went on a journey of figuring out, what does that look like? Like, I don't want to live passively to where life is just happening and coming at me and happening to me. So how do I actively engage in my faith with God? And so Without Wavering, the answer was, which really is so much of what I write in general, the answer was like, what do I know to be true about God? And it's always really, I think, so much of our faith and life, when we all look underneath the hood of what we're going through, it always comes down to, what do we believe to be true about God in the midst of it? And how does what we believe to be true about God in the midst of it inform the way we react or respond? I think it's for everything, almost everything. I've not seen something yet or a situation where that's not the truth.
Yeah.
So it came up and for me in a lot of different ways, ended up writing it. And the essentially the answer is we have these promises. And we have these promises that are unshakable and are without wavering. They're not going to waver. We just have a hard time believing them.
And because of our humanness.
Totally. And we have a hard time not just believing them, but then we have a hard time going from like head to heart, from believing them to living them. Yeah. That was another part of it. So how do we begin to live out like we have promises, like the promises are ours? And again, this is like a lifelong lesson, but I gave us a starting point to say, we don't have to let life happen to us. We can be women who have a faith that's without wavering and who God is while life is happening around us, right? And we don't have to let it happen like to us. So that's why I wrote it, because the trenches, because my soul needed to know that I didn't have to be, I was almost exhausted. It felt like what I explained it like in the Bible study is like you get caught up in a current and it's a riptide and a current and you're being tossed and turned and you can't find your way. That's what it feels like for so many women that I talk to every day.
100%. Yeah.
Like you're caught and you're not even sure where to go. You're trying to swim forward, but you're supposed to swim to the left. You can't figure it out. You're so much underwater that you're like, what does that even mean? And so Without Wavering is an answer to what our souls feel like every day, where it's like, I don't even know how to come to prayer. I'm stuck. I'm in the middle of a current. It's crazy. Riptide. It's crazy. I don't know what to do. So
So what are some of those promises that you're talking about that we can cling to? Because I know that so many people feel like that, that they are just caught up, lost their footing, cannot regain it. What are those things that we can be like, okay, I have to cling to this?
You know, it's funny because, so let me say this for the women who are listening to for my friend that's listening, who maybe she's a new believer. This is going to sound hopefully like fresh wind. For the women who have been following Jesus, you're going to hear me say this and you're going to be like, really? That's it?
Yeah.
So just for both women who are listening, maybe you're in the middle of it and you're like, I don't know. So here it is, right? So the promises of God are what we know to be true about God for his people. So like, let me establish that.
Mm-hmm.
God can give very specific promises individually, or maybe what I like to say, less promise, more assignment driven. Like God can speak something over your life.
Yeah.
That he wants for you. God can speak something over your life that he desires for you. That is very different than what we see in scripture when we look at the promises of God. So the promises of God are that God is faithful, that he's unchanging, that he's immutable, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he's our comforter, that he is actually working out our good for his glory as we seek to build his kingdom. So what we know to be true about God's holiness, that he set apart, that he cannot sin, that he did not create sin, that he did not create evil. That's a huge one. Like if we know that God is not the author, right, of sin, if he detests sin, right, he abhors it, he hates that we suffer. If we know that to be true about God, then man, would that change the way we experience pain and suffering in our life? If we know that God's like angry with us, that we still aren't mothers yet. I was just talking to a friend who is struggling with infertility, and a lot of the question, and this is across the board for all of us who are waiting for this like physical reality to come to pass for us, these dreams, these wants we have. She was like, how can God just like watch my life just happen and not enter, right? How can he not intervene? How can he not in his foreknowledge, like do something about it? And I said to her, which is not trying to explain our pain away, it's just helping us reframe who God is in it. God is not out here just passively watching us in our discomfort. God's kind and loving and cares. He is also hurting that we're hurting. So if God is hurting with us, right, then that changes the game for us. So that's a promise. We know that God's a comforter. We know that God is a high priest who's endured all the things, and he can comfort us because he relates to our suffering. So those promises that God will never leave us or forsake us, that his love is, you know, he's abounding in love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we have a new identity. If those things are real, I just don't think we spend enough time on them. If they are true, which they are, that would change the way we live our life. And so the whole study is helping us see that.
Do you think that we don't always grasp that because we're so like wrapped up in the suffering and the fact that we think that we just shouldn't suffer? Or do you think it's just our like minds will never be able to grasp that because we're just, you know, his thoughts and ways are higher than ours?
I think the answer is yes. I think that here's what's so beautiful is that like, we are allowed as humans, we're embodied humans, we are allowed to wrestle with God. Like he knows suffering is hard. Matter of fact, I just preached a sermon on suffering. Suffering is hard because it's not supposed to be here. Suffering is hard because it's not supposed to be here, because it's not God's design, right? And so God knows that it's not his design. So I think that it's hard for us because suffering is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because healing takes time, because knowing the character of God takes time in relationship with him, and nothing's going to happen overnight. And so there's so much grace for all of us who are walking through difficult seasons. There's so much grace for growing. What I want us to do is that in the midst of it, we need to decide truly to look to God, even in our suffering, even in our anger, and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Mark 9:24.
Yeah.
I believe, help my unbelief and watch him do something really miraculous and supernatural with our willingness and our obedience.
Oh my gosh. I literally said that same prayer. Goldie had like this cough that lasted for 5 months. Like it was insane. And it was like, okay, Lord, I can power through for a month. I can power through for 2 months. Once you get to the third month of
you're tapped. It's over.
This frustration and this like thing that I am spinning my wheels on fixing and what is it and what's the cause and like all that stuff. I literally was like, Lord, I know that I sound so ridiculous because this is like, she's not in the hospital and you know, it could be so much worse, but I'm also sitting here begging you every night, you know, begging you. And I think I got to the point where I was just like, what the heck is going on? Like you have got to help my unbelief because I believe who you are. I believe your power. I believe in this, but you've got to help my unbelief because it's just, I'm losing my mind.
And what a powerful prayer to say to God. Like what a powerful, I think that when we say that, what happens in the spiritual realm is that we disarm the enemy.
Mm.
Like we bring to light our own contentions, our own conflict with God, our own wrestling. And now the enemy has like nothing to work with because we're saying out loud, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's like when we go to God and take him our unanswered prayers and dreams and say, Lord, I believe, Lord, I'm angry and I'm sad about this, but I also believe even in my wrestle, I'm going to choose to believe before my feelings catch up to it, that you're going to work my good. That right there is how I know that, and is how we take back our land. It's how we disarm the enemy in our lives for sure.
Yeah. Before my feelings catch up to it. That was like such a key phrase there. Yeah, so good.
Before my feelings catch up to it. That's right.
What are some things like in the Bible that you saw unwavering faith in? Like, what are some examples of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's my favorite story because it's a real story. Let me say this. Let me give a caveat. It's my favorite story because it's a real picture of our humanity. I think that sometimes when we hear the story of Abraham and Sarah, it's like very beautiful and the Lord provided a blessing and he came through with the promise. And then he made, you know, Abraham the father of many nations. And it's just, thank you, God, right? Because you did what you said you would do. But there are like 92 chapters, you know, tongue in cheek, like we skip over this very real chapter of their lives where they went out of their way to manipulate God's hand.
Yeah.
Where they went out of their way, like low key, you know what I mean? Like to abuse and oppress the woman that they had who was, you know, who worked for them, who's known as a slave in the scriptures, and take advantage of her. And you know, then she gets pregnant and they have Ishmael. And now you've got an entire kingdom built on your inability to follow God's design and plan.
Mm.
And yet God's grace and yet God's faithfulness. And yet God says, I love you. And yet there's this insane amount of grace because it's not even really about Sarah and Abraham. It's really about us. And it's really about Jesus.
Yeah.
So because God's plans are bigger than ours, he knows that there's so much at cost here that's why grace is grace, right? Because it's able to come in and fill in the gaps that we can't, that we could never. And so, of course, we see, you know, Abraham gives and Sarah have Isaac and the Lord asks, I'm not even that impressed where God, and this is, I'm like still chewing on this. I've heard so many times a part of the story where that's preached where he, you know, the Lord asks him to sacrifice Isaac and it's this beautiful. I'm not really like moved by that because Abraham had already seen God move like 72,000 times before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like, I'm not actually impressed with Abraham taking Isaac and being like, what I think is most powerful for us is that even in Sarah and Abraham's sin and disobedience, God still moved.
Yeah.
That's real faith. Like that's God's hand. That's God's faithfulness. Like forget their works, forget their faith. I would say that season of her life shows us just how much more their flesh was driving them than their will for God. So for me, that shows and reminds me like, oh, right. So this is actually about God's faithfulness. This is actually about his promises. This is actually about his character. we're flawed. But God said, I will make you a father of many nations. God said, this is for the good of my people. And so because God said that, he went out of his way to overwhelm that entire family with grace and with mercy, which he does for you and me every single day. So
every single day.
One of my favorite stories.
I love that story. And you're so right, because I mean, whenever we think about that story, we kind of gloss over that part of the disobedience, of the lack of faith, of the lack of trust. I mean, we just don't even go there. And God delivered. And you're like,
no, I'm like, no, hello. I'm like, you guys, we're missing it.
Yeah.
And even while Abraham and Sarah went out of their way to lie, to disobey, this rap list of sins that we could look at, God was like, yeah, but I still made a promise.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the crazy part. Yeah, but I still made a promise and my promise stands.
Come on. That's it.
Like,
and because of that, I'm gonna have to make a way through this. Even in your disobedience, I'm gonna have to make a way because I made a promise to my people, because I know that Jesus is this whole entire thing, Abraham and Sarah, isn't really about you. It's about my son, Jesus, and him coming to rescue my kids. Yeah. So I'm gonna do what I need to do to make sure that happens. So that for me is what I go back to now more than ever. I'm like, forget. I'm like, that other stuff is cute. Let's look at God when they were disobedient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, truly, because that's us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's us. Like we are, even if we are, I mean, we are walking in miracles or answered prayers, like even though we still, it's never enough for us. You know, we are never satiated with our desire and what we want and what we ask God for.
Right.
So for us to be in our humanity, continually manipulative and just trying to force God to bring this blessing that we have in our minds on earth. And he's like, I hear you, but just wait. Like, just wait for this thing that I haven't think about. Like, that I have this plan that is so much bigger than that. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's such a good story.
So, yeah.
It's true. Like, that's your favorite one because it's not just a parable teaching us a lesson. It is history. It is still, to this day, the kind of history that you can turn on the news and see.
Yes.
You know, what happened from that.
Yeah. Like God remains faithful, even in the midst of our disobedience. Because God's promises, God's real promise, again, and this is so important. I'm not talking about a promise specifically spoken over your life. Because a lot of what happens is that word promise is like tossed around and people are like, well, God promised me marriage. Like, unless you heard that downloaded into your spirit by the Lord, that may not be it. Right. There may be something in your life and people hate to hear that because it goes against what we think. But what if God is still good even when our prayers aren't answered? Like we're going to have to walk our faith forward and backwards. We're going to have to figure out if our faith is contingent on God's blessing.
Yeah.
Mm. Like we're going to have to figure out if he is
enough.
Totally. Yes.
Like
absolutely. Yeah. Well, and if he's, go ahead.
I'm just, if he is enough, that is just like, you have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So yeah, I could talk hours about that.
I know. It's so good too. I'm like hanging on every single word you're saying because it's so real and it's so just applicable to life. Like, and that's the kind of stuff that I think we need to hear more of so often. It's just like, we have got to change our perspective. We have got to get into this rhythm of trust and of slowing down because the Lord's not in a rush. And like it just kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. If we can adopt these countercultural rhythms, then maybe we can get just a tiny glimpse of how God kind of operates and how we can follow in step. Okay, so where can we find the study? Where can we keep up with you online? Because I know I'm obviously going to get the study, but I know everyone else is going to be like, okay, yes, let's hop into this. Where can we keep up with you?
Yeah. So, I mean, Amazon always, for my Amazon girlies, you can order it on Amazon. Lifeway always has a 20% discount that you can use if you want to order it from lifeway.com. Oh, cool. You can do that too. I know they're really great. They might not have 20%. If not, they've got 10, but they've always got a pop-up for friends who are trying to get a Bible study. So yeah. And of course, like Christian bookstores, I think Target has some online too. So yeah.
Awesome. And your Instagram handle?
Instagram handle is Alexandra V. Hoover.
Amazing. I'll tag you in all the things, obviously. So you will be easy to find, but thank you so much. This was so good. And I'm just so thankful for your time and friendship.
Thanks, Ryan. I love you.
Thank you so, so much for spending time with us today and hanging out here on Wild Confidence. I hope that you feel encouraged and ready to tackle the day, feeling even more confident than you did before you started listening. I'd be so thankful if you left a review or shared this episode with a friend, and I'll see you soon. Oh, don't forget, let's connect on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @AinsleyB, and I hope to meet you there.